This is a download from Channel 4. To find out more, go to channel4radio.com.
Previously on Lost.
Two players, two sides. One is light, one is dark.
Do you want to know a secret? What if everything that happened here happened for a reason?
We can't live together. We're going to die alone.
I thought I heard whispering.
We're not the only people on this island, and we all know it.
We have only three choices. Run, hide, or die.
Do you think we're being punished?
Every 108 minutes, the button must be pushed.
Guys, where are we?
Hello and welcome to UK Lost from Channel 4 Radio. I'm Ian Lee, here down the hatch again, ready to obsess over episode 19, SOS. Although not so keen on the fact that I'm going to have to say Bernard a lot, when of course we all know it should be Bernard. I'm joined as always by my panellists, and in a moment of weakness, I succumb to the pressure of one or two people demanding the return of Geeky Tom, and the boy is indeed back. So, along with our competition, your theories, a sneak preview of episode 20, and a look at the Lost links online, we'll also have Tom's geeky observations of this week's episode. So, come down into the hatch with your mouth wide open in preparation for Tom's Beyond the Call of Duty obsessiveness as we bring you UK Lost from Channel 4 Radio. So, let's introduce the panel. Tom, welcome back to... Kind of good to have you, I suppose.
Well, it's good to be back.
Okay. You're here because of the pressure of your fans.
I know, I heard that I had fans. That's lovely.
I suspect one of them may be your mother. We've got Paul, the editor from Lost Magazine. Hello, Paul.
Hello, how are you?
And Nikki is back.
Hello, Ian.
Wow, that forced enthusiasm. I like it. Okay, this week's question. We'll start with you, Nikki, because I know you like these. What's your most controversial theory about Lost?
Well, as a follower of the Lost experience, my favourite controversial theory is, in fact, that the Hanzo Foundation is real and not just a fictional part of the television show.
Oh, wow. Okay, fantastic. Paul, what's your most controversial theory?
I really want Walt's mum to still be alive, goddammit, and I want Michael to not be Walt's dad.
Okay, yeah. Wow, controversial. And Geeky Tom?
Well, I've got to say it, really, haven't I? It's the super brain computer theory that I've heard... What a load of rubbish.
Whose one's that by?
I don't know.
No, let's
some idiot.
Explain. Some people might be new to this. It's my excellent theory, which has developed apace while you've been away, so I shall...
Following.
Well, I look forward to hearing it a bit later on.
I shall explain it to you later on. It's time for a quick summary, though. In this week's episode, Rose and Bernard finally take centre stage. Through flashback, we learn that Bernard is a doer. He proposes to Rose shortly after meeting her and doesn't let her revelation that she only has a year to live put him off. In fact, he treats Rose to every bride's dream, a trip to an outback faith healer on her honeymoon.
I didn't ask for this!
Mrs. Bernard, I have made my peace with what's happening to me.
Well, I haven't. I can't just do nothing, Rose. That's not me. That's not who I am. I have to try. Will you try, Rose, for me?
She agrees to give it a go, and entering a room littered with unwanted crutches, meets with Isaac, the healer.
So, how does this work? I sit here and you chant, or, pray, or what?
There are certain places with great energy. Spots on the earth, like the one we're above now. Perhaps this energy is geological. Magnetic. Or perhaps it's something else. And when possible, I harness this energy and give it to others.
Isaac begins the healing process, which just seems to involve cupping his hands near Rose's face, but then, appearing disturbed, says this is not the right place for her and he can't help. He offers to return Bernard's donation, but Rose has a better idea. She's going to tell Bernard that Isaac fixed her. Back on the island, Bernard is clearly still in doer mode and gathers a small posse to create a massive SOS sign on the sand. Rose thinks he's giving everyone false hope, but undeterred, he tries to recruit Echo and Charlie, who are hard at work building what we finally discover is a church.
Everybody on this island is building something. I'm trying to get us saved.
People are saved in different ways, Bernard.
I think I liked you better when you just hit people with your stick.
Bernard's sign-making group gradually diminishes until even the nameless extras are gone. Rose finds him struggling on alone and admits that she lied about Isaac healing her. However, she then goes on to say she's now better, insinuating it's the island that cured her, and Bernard finally understands her lack of interest in the help sign.
You don't want to be rescued, do you? You think if you leave, it'll come back. And if you can't leave, neither can I. We won't ever leave, Rose.
Meanwhile, Locke is obsessed with trying to recreate the map he saw and increasingly desperate to know if Henry Gale pushed the button, which just seems to please the still silent prisoner. Locke's growing loss of faith leads him down to the beach where he speaks with Rose.
So what are you doing down here, John? Can't remember the last time I saw you out of that hatch.
I'm done with the hatch.
Oh, now you're just frustrated. You'll be out of that splint and running around the island again in no time.
And yet, Jack said it'd be at least 4 weeks.
But, honey, you and I both know it's not going to take that long.
How does Rose know? Well, a flashback to the airport answers this as we see a wheelchair-bound Locke picking up some dropped medicine for Rose. Back in the hatch, Jack is growing impatient with a mute Henry Gale and decides to take action.
I'm going out to the line that we're not supposed to cross and telling them that we've got you. And if they want you back, it's going to cost them. And when we get Walt back, you might just have been worth all the trouble. Did you say something?
They'll never give you Walt.
Ignoring Henry, Jack recruits the help of Kate and they go off in search of the others. On the way, they get caught in one of Danielle Rousseau's nets, and all the close body contacts and groping for the gun to shoot themselves free builds up to a nice bit of sexual tension. Good one. Having reached the clearing and about to lean in for a big snog, they're interrupted by a figure running towards them, gasping and frightened, who falls at their feet, and they see it's Michael. Excellent ending to the episode. We'll get to that bit later on. Rose and Bernard, was it a good backstory? Tom, we'll start with you.
Yes, it was. There was lots of clues, lots of different things going on.
I thought it was quite a boring backstory. I thought it was a bit of a filler.
And very cheesy.
I think you need a bit of that, though. I quite enjoy those backstories. We now know that Bernard's a doer.
Sorry, you're going to have to say Bernard, as it will confuse some
Actually,
people.
Actually, Ian, I think you said Bernard just before.
Well, they'll change that with a computer for me. Did I?
A brain computer.
Yeah, it's a super brain. Can we stop taking the mic? We're only 5 minutes into this. It was a little bit dull. It was a little bit cheesy, as you say, Nikki. It wasn't one of the strongest backstories. And I don't think it takes the story anywhere, really.
Well, it seems to confirm for us that the island has healing properties. And we have seen that in numerous cases now. Both Locke and Rose, and I suspect Charlie's heroin addiction was also... His recovery from it was sped up by
and
the island.
And Jin's problem with his winky. Yes, he's the older... that could be due to the island,
yeah.
If it's his baby.
If it is.
But you could have... You know, we could have learned that in a five-minute clip. We didn't need a whole episode, did we, Paul,
Well, I think the cool thing is that, first of all, that is really unexpected. You don't think that it's going to be about... You know, you don't know that Rose had this illness and that she was cured, or maybe cured. So I think that was the unexpected side of it was really good. But I think the healer guy who they go and see in Australia is the key part of the entire, you know, backstory of the episode. Because there's some really cool stuff that goes on in that room. And he looks absolutely terrified when he doesn't heal.
We'll mention Isaac in a second. Very quickly, the island doesn't heal everybody. Sawyer's eyesight is still knackered.
Well, it's not a life and death.
Oh, it
problem.
Only does life and death things, does
yeah.
it?
I think
oh, sorry, Tom, I didn't realise.
It has to be above a certain level.
Oh, right, it's selective, is it? Yes. Okay, Henry Gale hasn't healed miraculously.
Well, he's been shot in the arm, yeah.
So?
And I'm going to say that he has. I think there's been some rapid healing going on.
Sawyer was healed quite quickly as well, because he got shot.
Yeah, okay. And Locke's walking around, isn't he now?
All right, I'm just saying that it's selective healing.
It's not sexual healing. It's
what? Hang on a second. This is This is some kind of tension between you two.
Tom returns and yeah.
Wow. Let's move on to Lost, which is what we're here to talk about. Now, Isaac is at Ayers Rock and he says there are certain places with great energy, spots on the Earth like the one we're above now. Perhaps this energy is geological, magnetic. He's talking about the island, surely.
Well, and I love that. Yeah, the line that follows that when he says something about, you know, the magnetism could be harnessed, the power of it, and given to others.
Mm.
And, you know, I want to hear that with a capital O. I think that's, you know, he's not telling it's the others, but I like the insinuation.
Is Ayers Rock, does anyone know, is it really magnetic, or is that just made up for the telly?
I think that's probably just made up for the telly.
Okay, nice.
It's supposed to be a very spiritual place.
Yeah,
though.
There's a lot of places in there.
Well, I don't think it's magnetic. I know this, yeah, because I think the running theme through this episode are the black rocks that you see all the way through the episode, which I've heard on the internet is slang for a magnetic rock. So
why do we think Isaac couldn't heal Rose? And he seems quite disturbed in a similar way that Claire's psychic did, didn't he, Nikki?
I have no idea why he can't heal her, but he seems to think that there is some other place that can help her out, if only he knew where it was.
No, I don't think he's lying. I think he could have healed her. I think he stopped. He sort of turned his healing power on, and then something about Rose, which is why I think the backstory is important. I think Rose and Bernard are going to become more important to Lost because he freaked out. He didn't go, oh, my power's a bit 30%. He stopped and went, looked absolutely terrified.
The power's a bit 30%.
No, I think because he looks genuinely terrified, and Rose didn't pick up on it at all.
I don't believe all that Lost psychic stuff going on. I reckon there's a physical, scientific reason for most things that happen in Lost.
That's obviously nonsense, Tom. Don't start this early on. You know that there's a massive psychic phenomenon happening on the island. The whole thing is governed by psychic abilities.
I think we should just leave this conversation a bit later.
Oh,
on.
God, I've never wanted to punch someone during this before, but really. Isaac obviously sees something.
Yeah.
You know, if we take on board that it's a psychic thing, and just bear with us for a second, Tom. He obviously sees something bad. Now, what is it he's seen? Has he predicted the future and he's seen that she's going to be stuck on this weird, spooky island? Or is it something that's happened in her past, or what?
It could be a possibility that Isaac is related to Hanzo in some way, and Dharma in some way, and that maybe his ability to foresee things or to heal people, something within Rose, he doesn't want to go near. It might not be that he doesn't want to heal her, but he doesn't want to go near it. He's just like, whoa,
well, maybe it's
get
just
out
a
of
big,
my shack. You know.
A big act to get Rose on the plane and set her up to go on the island.
But he offered to give the money back, so he seemed fairly legit.
Yeah, that's the thing that makes him sound convincing, is he's going to give the $10,000 back.
And even if he'd healed her, she still would have got on that plane on the way back.
Exactly.
Now, Isaac is channeling the energies at Ayers Rock, so if the island can heal, is it possible that someone is channeling the energy there?
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Nice one, thanks. that's the answer to that.
Yes.
That's all we need to know. And the healing is in contrast with Danielle's obsession with the sickness, because she's the only one that goes on about the sickness, isn't she?
Well, this is what's weird, because, yeah, all the talk about, you know, like you said, about Sawyer being healed quickly and Locke getting the use of his legs back, and now Rose apparently has been healed, but they always talk about infection and about quarantine and about sickness, but we don't think we've seen anything so far. So.
The scene with Rose and Locke, where she tells him she knows his secret, i.e. he was a cripple before getting on the island, why doesn't she mention that before?
I have no idea.
It's a strange thing, isn't
it?
It's
always down on the hatch. They don't get to chat.
But you'd think she'd say, oh, by the way, oh, blimey, you're walking. Oh, no, just nice, well done, good lad, you know. But she doesn't, there's never been picked up on before.
She's maybe quite a knowing character, though. Like, remember when she was away from her husband and she knew that he was still alive, and she's the sort of person who's so understated, and she just keeps things to herself, and that's sort of her power.
She tries to give Hurley those biscuits or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I thought it was a bit nasty.
Yeah, she's a feeder.
Have those, fat boy.
She's a feeder.
Codependence.
Well, if you think of it back at the beginning, you know, if you were in her situation, she's been healed. She doesn't want to leave the island because she thinks that she'll be back in the same situation. So maybe she doesn't want anyone to know.
Yeah, I think they're both people of faith, aren't they, Locke and Rose, in different ways, but they've got that privacy to them. They're not going to sort of bounce around and go, hey, you know.
We know Locke was going on the walkabout. That's why he's in Australia. Any chance that he was possibly off to see Isaac as well?
I thought that.
Well, there's so much of, yeah, Locke, we need to find out about all that stuff. He's got that spiritual kick, but then the walkabout and then the wheelchair.
Her head there.
I disagree. I think he just purely wanted to go on this walkabout for the whole of his life. And
what's interesting in Locke in this episode is he's starting to lose his faith in the button. He's walked away from the button and left it, not knowing that, I guess, that Anna Lucia was going to push it. So that's quite a good thing.
Well, he's got something new to obsess about now. He's got his map that he's trying to remember and Maybe he's losing his faith in pushing the button. Maybe he is. It is all just, you're not supposed to be doing it. It's just a big test.
And again, it's just a parallel to the life that he's come from, because he was just sat in that small cubicle at the box company, just being told what to do, and he feels like he's in that same sort of situation now.
There's a few smug bits in this episode that sat uneasy with me, and one of them is when he's listening to that groovy music and he goes, oh yeah, I can remember how to draw the map. It goes
and
like this, and like this,
and
like this. It's just like, oh, it's a little bit too schmaltzy for me. Henry Gale's evil smile when Locke demands the truth. That's brilliant.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Did you push the button? And he just sits there smiling.
He's
away.
Playing Locke.
Do you think Henry Gale pushed the button or not?
I think he did. Mm. Yeah, I do think he did, but I think that there's a bigger agenda behind why he wants Locke to think that he didn't.
I think he must have pushed the button, and in some way he's trying to tempt Locke into not pushing the button. I don't know why that would be.
Or maybe he's just playing with Locke because he knows that Locke will always end up pushing the button. But
okay, well, it's competition time, and one lucky person with the correct answer will go into the draw to win the big UK Lost Bunker of Prizes, which so far, contains a Lost sweatshirt, a signed cast photo, which I wouldn't mind, a subscription to the official Lost magazine, and a copy of Bad Twin, which we got Hurley, Jin, Mr. Echo, and Lost co-creator Damon Lindelof to sign when we met them. All of this could be yours if you can answer the following question. How much money did Bernard donate to Isaac the Healer? Was it A, $10,000, B, $5,000, or C, $1,000? You can call 09011 111 080. Leave your answer, your name and your telephone number. Calls cost 25 pence a minute. Or you can text the word LOST, then your name and answer to 83188. Each text will cost you 25 pence. This is UK Lost from Channel 4 Radio, official download radio show for Lost fans. I'm Ian Lee, here down the hatch with Geeky Tom, Nikki and Paul. Jack and Kate feature quite heavily in this episode, which is quite nice to see. Henry Gale interestingly tells Jack they'll never give you Walt. He's admitted, if we didn't know already, he's definitely one of the others. He knows about Walt, he knows what's going on. Why, and I've got an idea why, why do you think they would never give up Walt? Let's start with you, Nikki.
Because Walt is the big power of the island. He's the super brain computer psychic.
Yes. Tom, what do you reckon? Why are they never going to let him go?
I think he's a special child. We're not quite sure why he's special yet, but I'm sure we'll find out later. But I'm pretty sure it's not anything to do with any computers that are.
Or how about because he's psychic?
Maybe he's just really good at maths or something.
I don't understand this. You know he's psychic because there's the episode where he's reading about a bird and that bird hits the window.
Coincidence.
He makes the polar bear appear.
He doesn't. Didn't make the polar bear, it just appears.
But
it
you
just
know.
Happened to be in the comic. You're reading too much into it, Ian.
I'm not reading anything into it. I'm seeing the connection.
All right.
He appears before Shannon gets shot. He appears when bad things are going to happen.
But maybe that's because they're suffering from the sickness or something.
Oh.
There's other reasons that, you know, that could be explained.
Like what?
He's not psychic, and it's just all a dream.
I'm feeling quite uncomfortable here. I might actually go.
Paul and Nick, if you want to leave, this is goodness. All right, there's the uncomfortable bit with Jack and Kate in the net.
Mm.
Oh, she's getting the gun. What's the gun doing down there? That's not a safe place in the back of his truck. Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah,
oh, I liked it.
Sexy.
I thought it was cool, yeah.
Nicky, did you really find it sexy?
I just said I don't find
it. Oh, you did?
Sexy.
I don't. Sorry, I misheard you. I apologize.
I think it was supposed to be sexy, but it just left me cold, really.
No, I think it was supposed to be just fun, just a bit.
A bit of fun.
Caught in a net, you know.
Well, it's sexual tension, isn't it? You know, their relationship bores me, to be honest. The two of them, they're not going to get it on again.
They're both boring.
Yeah.
Well, then he was brave when Jack said, you know, when she said, I'm sorry I kissed you, and he said, oh, I'm not. Because you're waiting for her to look around and go, aww.
Tom,
she doesn't do anything.
What would you have said in that situation?
Well, I looked past the sexual innuendo and saw that Jack is actually a really good shot with his gun.
That was ridiculous,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Well, no, it's as clues. Maybe he's definitely must have been in the army. He's better than Kate, who went hunting.
I don't think even if you shot a rope, it would break, though. Would it like that?
Of course it would.
I'm going to say yes there, Ian, yeah. If you shot a rope, it probably would break.
Have I said something really stupid?
Yeah.
The doll. It's obviously a trap from Danielle, isn't it?
Well, I don't want it
to
be a trap from Danielle. I don't want it to be something creepier. Yeah. Because they just assume, oh, that's one of Danielle's jobs.
It's like, why would she put a doll down?
Because she's trying to capture Alex. She's trying to get Alex.
It might be an Alex thing.
Yeah, but Alex is way too old for dolls.
She's mental, though.
She's
a lunatic French woman who, you know, so she's put down these creepy dolls.
That was a really creepy doll as well.
It was weird. Did it? Yeah. I don't think it had eyes.
No eyes.
The rope was the same kind of netting as Henry Gale's. But then why would he pick up a dolly?
Yeah, wait a minute. There's a good backstory. Let's see Henry Gale's flashback. Henry Gale, the nursery date.
I don't trust Russo at all. I think there's something going on with her.
What, like what?
Well, she's just there, and she goes, oh, here you go, here's another.
And she kills
who
all
who just
her
happens
tea,
to come down
she?
Into the hatch and seems to have a plan with Locke and Jack.
Here's a theory for you. She's in charge of the others. She's the big boss.
Yeah, no,
she's
I like that. I like that.
We found out, one of the things that frustrates me about Lost is that when people find out things, they don't all get together and say, hey, we found this medical hatch. Hey, this has happened. Hey, we've got this dude down here. You know, you should... I find that quite annoying. But we did find out why Kate didn't tell anyone about the medical hatch, because she felt excluded...
from the club.
From the club, as she puts it. But still, not a brilliant reason. They're stuck on a spooky island. They should be sharing all the information, shouldn't they?
That's the thing. It's always a power struggle between all these main characters, and... people are keeping various things from other people, and that's starting to make other people cross. So.
Good to see Michael back. I was kind of suspecting he'd been written out of the series. His contract had not been renewed. I'd sort of forgotten about him, to be honest.
He looks a bit of a mess, though, doesn't he? He doesn't look well.
A bit puffy in the face.
He looks big nut, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's all sort of heavy-bearded and, you know, gasping. And...
did he escape, do you think, Tom? Or has he... here's something controversial. The others have sent him there. They've returned him.
That but works. How do you know he was with the others? He just disappeared. We don't know.
Well, he went to find Walt, didn't he? We just assumed.
But why has he come back empty-handed then? Why has he bothered coming back to the camp?
So maybe he never found anything.
Maybe he escaped with his life or something. You know, he was running away.
You know when the... sorry, going back slightly. You know when the guy with the beard says, there's a line here, don't cross it? I didn't realise he meant it was a literal line. I thought it was
There really is a line.
There is a literal line. I thought it was like a metaphorical, you know, don't push us line. But it was actually do not cross this line.
Where the black rocks are.
Yeah.
Black rocks, of course.
Absolutely.
Magnetic...
Rocks,
yes. Yep. Okay. So we're not sure whether Michael... I'm guessing in the next two or three episodes we're going to find out what Michael has been up to.
Well, we need to find out where he's been, so...
I hope so. Or maybe it's one of those things where they don't tell us and it kind of just carries on.
He might have amnesia like Claire. That would be frustrating.
Oh, he must have
let's hope
something
he's not.
To say.
Echo's building a church. Hooray.
Yeah.
Okay. building a church... it seems a bit odd when they're still living under tarpaulin.
Oh, I just can't believe Bernard might have not been employing the best managerial approach, as Rose said, but he's asking them to do something. They've got nothing else
to
bless
do,
and everyone's
him. I was behind
I'm
Bernard for
church,
that bit, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Bernard is one of the most irritating people I've ever seen, and I hope he gets killed off. I thought he was...
controversial.
I find him awful, so insipid, and just, horrible, really dull.
a tirade against...
it's a new section called Ian's Rant. Yeah. Why is Charlie helping Echo? And why... Charlie's helping Echo build a church, but he's still being a smug little git, isn't he? You know, he's still being...
sorry, Bernard, I've only got two hands. Can't help you, Bernard.
He's sucking up to Mr. Echo a bit.
He's doing what?
He's sucking up.
Okay.
He is, indeed.
He probably feels quite excluded still from the whole, you know, when he was that crazed baby napper moment.
What's nice to see in this episode, a lot of the extras... Get a bit of work, don't they?
I don't like that, actually.
Oh, I like that. The guy in the mauve vest.
Yeah.
Another old guy. There's a slightly sort of tanned woman who's nodding a lot when Bernard is talking.
Eyes.
We don't get to meet the Froget guy. No. Frozen yoghurt guy. Which is.
And they keep getting the names wrong, which is great. When the character keeps saying Steve, no, that's Phil. And they keep getting each other's names, which is cool.
Yeah, well, the fact they don't know the names of the people.
Yeah, they're not paying attention to the other 40-odd survivors, which are populating the island.
They're not important.
Towards the end of the episode, when Rose and Bernard are hugging at the end on the beach, the shot pans out. The SOS sign looks like a sad face.
Seriously, I was about to say that as my geeky fact today. Didn't know you already referenced that. Seriously.
Yes, I spotted it. Is the sad face an omen?
I think it's a nice touch. I think it's just a nice touch.
Not at all. Yeah. Nicky think that. Next. next. Why is everybody on the island accepting the fact that they're on the island? You'd think they'd still be a bit, this guy's got some spunk. Let's go and build a sign.
And how annoying was Hurley? He's like, I've got to carry rocks.
Do you think that the island has somehow made them feel accepting of their situation?
They're getting quite complacent, aren't they?
But yeah, there's a lot of characters who've had got a really dark past off the island, so they might not want to go back, like Kate. So maybe a lot of the socks, a lot of the background characters have got similar dark backgrounds they don't want to go back to.
Okay, thanks very much for that. Coming up, we will be listening to your theories and a quick reminder of this week's competition.
Since the dawn of time, man has been curious, imagining all that is possible. The Hanzo Foundation, reaching out to a better tomorrow. Discover the experience for yourself. Go to thehanzofoundation.org.
I'm Ian Lee. This is UK Lost from Channel 4 Radio. Now, I'm not sure what came over me, and I'm kind of regretting it already, but as you can hear, I've allowed Geeky Tom back down the hatch. Now, Tom, you've been very argumentative, but I will give you a chance to redeem yourself if you can give me some incredibly geeky observations that you've made of episode 19. Over to you, Tom.
Well, the geeky facts are quite thin on the ground this week. There wasn't a lot going on. However, there was the healer's wall, you know, Isaac in Australia. A lot of stuff going on there.
Yes.
I noticed
like
two...
what, for example?
Well, two Dharma wheels that I saw. They weren't, you know, the actual Dharma logo, but it looked like the kind of the Buddhist logo that the Dharma symbol is based on.
So the maybe Dharma chakra.
The Dharma chakra.
The Dharma chakra, that's a real thing in the real world.
Indeed.
Okay.
So a bit of crossover there, that's always good.
Okay, nice.
Yep.
Not a brilliant fact so far, so we can do better with this one.
Okay, the license plate on Bernard's Jeep in the Outback is the same as the one that's... Saeed's friend drove in series one where they were going to commit the terror attacks.
What? If
really?
That's true, that's mental.
What sort of vehicle were they in that?
So it was a different vehicle.
Same car?
Different vehicle. Well, I think it was different vehicle, same number plate.
Maybe that's just production.
Because that's a coincidence.
Or there could be some strange conspiracy going on there.
Okay, fine, that's a good one.
That's very good, yeah.
I'll buy that, yes. Okay.
We always have a song theory in, like, geeky facts here. So there's a, you know, the song that played in both Bernard and Rose's flashback and in The Hatch is These Arms of Mine by Otis Redding. Otis Redding, of course, died in a plane crash.
Mm. Oh, they're doing that a lot. They must be running out. They've not had a Buddy Holly song
yet. John Denver yet.
John Denver. Oh, still got John Denver.
Yeah, John Denver, Buddy Holly and Big Bopper, and that's pretty much it. Let's have another one if you've got one.
This is a bit of a bizarre one. When Locke was drawing his map, it was written, well, he was drawing it, you could see that it was written on some kind of piece of paper. It looked like, well, it was a French poem. My French is terrible, so I'm not going to try and...
No, please do try and
say it. Well, it's called Le Sur Le... About de Mills Richard Epling. It just all goes wrong.
It was as good as I hoped it would be. Did you say Wendy Richard in the middle of there somewhere?
Probably. But anyway, translated for idiots like me,
yes,
it says, young hearts full of antique poetry, be welcome, children cleared by the gods. You have the same age and the same genius. Be blessed the sweet clarity you bring back to our eyes.
Well, what does that mean?
Ooh, it's about Walt, isn't it?
Well, it's you look into it. See, what does it mean to you, Ian?
It doesn't mean anything to me. It's poems, isn't it?
I know.
But I do like you reading poetry. I find that quite nice. Maybe we could have that every week.
We could do.
Okay, lovely. Listen, thank you very much for that, Geeky Tom. You've earned your keep this week. This is UK Lost from Channel 4 Radio, and it's clear to us that there's a whole world of Lost outside of the TV show. Now, Nikki, you've been updating us on the Lost experience, which is the kind of everything that's happening on the internet and round and about. Have you got anything new for us?
Well, I've been away for a week, so there is a bit of stuff to catch up on. And I know I mentioned last time I was on that the big DJ Dan over in America was going to do a live broadcast. Mm. Just to remind everyone, DJ Dan has sort of, he's arisen as part of this whole Lost experience. And he seems to be, he's anti-Hanzo, he's a conspiracy theorist, and he seems to be on Rachel Blake's side. And what fans of the Lost Experience, like myself, are doing at the moment is there's a site called hanzoexposed.com. And when you find all these hieroglyphics around the place, and they've been popping up everywhere, Times Square, near the Opera House in Australia, on the Channel 4 website, all over.
Wow!
there's
amazing places,
it?
Incredible, yes.
And they have also been popping up on DJ Dan's site, which makes us think that, you know, because it's Rachel Blake's message that's coming out there, he must be on Rachel Blake's side. So there was a really exciting live broadcast that went for a couple of hours, and during that time we had the informant who Rachel Blake hit over the head with an iron, who ended up giving her all the information at the end of her video diaries, and he rang up and he gave some information. DJ Dan gave away another glyph. We're now at 45.
Oh, we're abbreviating to glyph.
It is,
glyphs,
yeah, glyph. Okay. Those in the know, you use the word glyph.
The Egyptians.
The glyphs.
They call them glyphs.
Yeah, glyph. You know. Yeah. We're now up to 45 glyphs out of 70.
Oh, okay.
And we have learnt that the bearded fellow we've been seeing...
On the internet.
On the internet, yeah. Doing these video clips, which looks like an orientation-type film. Mm. It turns out it is actually Alvar Hanzo.
What?
From when he's young.
Wow, crikey.
So we're still trying to find out exactly what it is he's saying, and then there seems to be a clip with Mittelwerk in it. So we're going to have to keep collecting these glyphs to find out what the story is. One other very exciting thing that we've seen happen is in Paul's Lost magazine, in fact, on the back of the magazine there was an ad for the Apollo candy bar.
Apollo bars in English. Yes, in English.
And a website's gone up for Apollo candy.
Okay.
It's called apollocandy.com. And we've seen that there is actually a link on there with US distribution. And it looks like coming up in the next week, they're going to be handing out these chocolate bars.
Oh, my. Well, there was a candy bar in this week's episode.
There was, yep. Right in front of Locke. And the geeks on the internet have actually spotted that there's a UK page looking to come up. So I think we should keep an eye on that.
And there'll be a golden ticket, which could get you on the Lost Islands.
Yeah, you get on the show. That was made up.
No, that was made up, by the way. Okay, so he starts foaming at the mouth as Ellis. Anything else? Is that all you've
got? That's all, but...
Now, there are a huge amount of sites on the big World Wide Web devoted to Lost. And unsurprisingly, there's a load of rubbish out there. So you don't have to bother trawling through them all yourself. Here are our recommendations for this week. Firstly, have you ever fancied working for the Hanso Foundation and becoming an organ courier in California or a simian veterinarian in Tanzania? Then you need to look at hansocareers.com, the Hanso Foundation job search site powered by monster.com. Now, I had a look at this. You can't really get a job off this, can you? Or can you?
I don't know. Maybe you get to wear, like, a theatrical beard.
Surely it's false advertisement. If I apply for that job, yeah, I want to work for Hanso.
Let's all put our CVs
on Monster.
Can you do that this week and report back next
I'll
week?
See, yeah.
I don't think you're qualified for any job.
Organ career? What do you need for that? Be able to drive? That's about all.
And you've got a licence, have you?
No.
There we go. If you're too busy or too lazy to come up with your own Lost theory, then go to www.lost-theory-generator.com and you just keep refreshing the page until a theory appears that you like the look of. Then you can memorise it and impress all your friends. Now, I was on this for an hour. At no point does it mention super brain computers. Disappointing.
But I wonder if some people have been emailing us in ones just from there.
It would be disappointing if they had, but we'll see. We'll get to the theories in a minute. And finally, do you long to see Hurley and Libby sharing a tender kiss? Well, if so, go. I can't think of anything more unattractive,
no,
to be honest.
No.
If so, go to www.petitiononline.losttv.html. Here you can join hundreds of other signatures in a petition to J.J. Abrams demanding that Hurley find love.
But they've already kissed. God damn it. There's no need to have a petition. Close it down.
I'm Ian Lee, this is UK Lost from Channel 4 Radio, and along with my panellists Nikki, Tom and Paul, we're now going to try and make sense of some of the theories that you've been emailing to uklost@channel4.com. This is my favourite bit. We've got three theories here. We'll give them marks out of 10 at the end, so let's have a look. Theory one, the Edward Leedskalnin theory by Missy Chariot. Now, if you look closely at the blast door map, you can see what appears to be several paths. They could be ley lines. It is thought that the places where these lines intersect are areas with magical properties. I believe the island is one of these places. This all reminded me of Edward Leedskalnin. This 5-foot-tall man single-handedly built a castle in a specially chosen spot in Florida, despite the fact that the huge stones were made of coral and weighed several tons. His methods are a secret, as he worked only at night, but he published several works on electromagnetism, so it's thought that he harnessed the power of magnets in some way. Also, when he first came to America, he had terminal tuberculosis, but was miraculously cured. He claimed this was down to the experiments he'd been doing on magnets. So, my theory is, the Hanso Foundation discovered that the island was a special place, and are trying to discover the secrets of Leedskalnin, the ancient Egyptians, and Stonehenge.
Just throws that in at the end there.
Who wants to tear this one to shreds? Nikki, do you want to go first?
There are things in there that we've already discovered, really. I don't think it brings anything new to the table. We know that there's something to do with electromagneticism. And we know, obviously, from this episode that the island has healing properties, but I don't really feel like we've gone much further with that theory.
Tom, this Edward Leedskalnin is irrelevant, surely.
I thought so at first, but it sounds quite, not I was going to say plausible, it doesn't sound plausible at all, but...
Apparently it's a true story.
Yeah, so there's definitely some...
right.
Well, you know, I think that's some good information about electromagnetism.
Okay, well, there's no information about electromagnetism. It's about a 5-foot-tall bloke building a castle. And then she brings in Egyptians and Stonehenge at the end. The whole premise that it's based on the ley line is nonsense.
I'll say nonsense.
Good lad. Okay, we'll stop there. Okay, theory two is the Oz theory by Bazza19. I think that the Losties have travelled to another world, which is like the Wizard of Oz. This is supported by Henry Gale, as he was Dorothy's uncle in the film. The Wizard is the leader of the others and is possibly Alvar Hanso. The plane crashed on the island like Dorothy's house crashed in the story, crushed the equivalent of the Wicked Witch, and the Losties mistook the body for a crash victim. When the witch was killed, this is awful, Dorothy took the ruby slippers and, like this, Locke got the use of his legs back. So, as the ruby slippers get Dorothy home, Locke is the key to getting them all home somehow. Locke's path of destiny, Locke is the yellow brick road, which will possibly lead them to the wizard. The black smoke slash monster seen in the jungle is the flying monkeys doing the bidding of some evil person. Vincent is like Toto, yeah, he's a dog, and the plane was flying from Australia, brackets, Oz.
Nice.
Close brackets. Finally, the others could be the version of the Munchkins. Oh, over to you.
Well, I love these theories that start off when you think, oh, it's metaphorical. Draw, and then, no, she actually, is it she? Or we don't know. No, Bazza.
It's Bazza 19.
Well, Bazza 19 like actually believes this actually is what Lost is, which is, frankly, genius in a hilarious way. I love the fact that Locke being the yellow brick road, do they have to walk over Locke several times to actually
Locke
get
carry them on,
the truth?
Locke carries them on his back off the island.
Can I say, if you're sending in theories, you know, just basic grammar and punctuation makes it easier to get your point across. Nikki, what do you think?
I love it. I think maybe Jack is the Tin Man.
Oh, there we go. And who's the Scarecrow?
Is there a lion in the Wizard of Oz?
Is there a lion in the Wizard of Oz?
Yeah. Isn't there?
Yes. Let's move on to Tom.
That's some good analogies there. Henry Gale is Dorothy's father in
the uncle. Is the same uncle. Name. Yes, yes.
So it's not really what's going on there, but there's definitely
it's a fantastical approach.
Yeah, you know.
But a rubbish theory.
Yes.
And the third and final theory today is the Paradise Theory by Spiderweb 8032. Hi, Ian. I don't think the island has anything to do with experiments or research, and I'm getting pretty tired of every theory lazily including this assumption. Interesting. Yes, it has been made to look like this, but my higher intelligence makes it obvious that this is as much a setup as the others attempt to look like the cast of Les Miserables. Having seen Maternity Leave, the episode the other week, we now know that they actually own normal clothes. So the question is, why would they want the survivors to believe they're savages? Well, I think they live in a part of the island we haven't seen yet. Maybe it's under the island or above it. And this area is a paradise. Think about it. There are some astonishingly clever people in our world, and not all of these are going to be interested in doing good for mankind. A small group might just have decided to use their superior intelligence to make just their lives amazing. They're certainly not going to want idiots like Boone, Kate, or Charlie coming along. coming along to water down their gene pool. But they have worked out that Walt will make a good addition, though. I'm not sure who is behind it all, but I haven't seen any pictures of Professor Stephen Hawking about town for a while now. So maybe he's on the island lording it up.
That is honestly the best theory.
Tom, have a go. I think that's genius.
I think that's genius. I think he's nail on the head. That is exactly what's going on. Stephen Hawkins is on a throne, probably with wheels.
They've basically cracked season three, haven't they?
Yeah, basically. I think that's a really, really good idea.
Paul, what do you think?
Yeah, I think this is the first theory in eons that's actually quality.
Absolutely.
Like the whole element of the actual setup on the island being facade in every sense, just to get into
make
their lives better.
It feels like they actually watched the programme and made up a good
feeling. Said Oz is Australia, like the wizard.
Nikki, you a fan of this one?
I think it's great.
Okay, let's give these marks up 10. Theory one, the Edward Lead Scanlan theory by Missy Charrett. Nikki?
Five.
Paul?
Two.
Six.
Well, I'm giving it zero.
Okay.
Because it's absolute guff. So that brings the average down to like four or something. Theory two, the Oz theory by Bazza 19. Tom?
Two.
Nikki?
One.
Two.
I'll give it a one, so that makes it one. And theory three, the Paradise Theory by Spiderweb 8032. Paul?
Big fat 10.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Okay, Nikki?
I'm coming in with a 10 as well.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to have to say 10 too.
I'm going to say 10 as well.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's
a 10. Good work. Just because I want to see Stephen Hawking, quote, lording it up. Now, you can see the five best theories and the five worst theories at channel4radio.com/forum. Let me quickly recap on my theory, because it's developed a bit, Tom, since you were last here. Superbrain computer theory holds true. Walt is connected to a superbrain computer, so is his bad twin. They're having like a psychic game of chess on the island with all the people on there. Everybody on the island has been sold to the Hanso Foundation by their parents, probably by their dads.
I'm speechless.
Don't be speechless. It's true.
Has just got better and better each week, hasn't it?
I'm not saying this to be, you know, I genuinely believe this. Because every episode, every flashback, nearly every flashback, you see a bit of aggro with parents, with dads drinking a lot, they're remorse, they're full of guilt, what have they done? Oh my God, I've sold my child to an experiment.
Why chess? Why not backgammon?
Shut up. This is UK Lost from Channel 4 Radio. Coming up, we have a tantalising preview clip from next week's episode. But first, a reminder of our competition. One very lucky person with the correct answer will go into the draw to win the big UK Lost bunker of prizes, which so far contains a Lost sweatshirt, a signed cast photo, a subscription to the official Lost magazine, and a copy of Bad Twin, signed by Hurley, Jin, Mr. Echo and Lost co-creator Damon Lindelof. The question this week is, how much money did Bernard donate to Isaac the Healer? Was it A, $10,000, B, $5,000, or was it C, $1,000? You can call 09011 111080, leave your answer, name and telephone number, calls cost 25 pence a minute, or text the word LOST, then your name and answer to 83188. Each text will cost you 25 pence. Time now for an exclusive peek at episode 20, where Libby is talking to Anna Lucia.
What happened?
The guy in the hatch tried to kill me.
You okay?
I'm fine. But he won't be.
Hey, Anna.
What?
Don't do anything stupid.
It's a whole week to wait to see if Anna Lucia does do something stupid. So to busy yourself in the meantime, take a look at our message board at channel4radio.com/forum. And don't forget, if you'd like to be here down the hatch next week discussing episode 20, email us at uklost@channel4.com. Many thanks to my panellists this week, Paul, Nikki, Geeky Tom. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
I'm Ian Lee. And remember, the button is bad.
Listening to a download from Channel 4. To find more downloads like this, go to channel4radio.com.